Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. This is the broadcast for December 14th in the year of our Lord, 2015. This is hour 2 of 2. The goal always to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property on your radio. In the traditions of our founders, it's incredibly simple. Got a lot of hard work to do, that's for sure. Before we get to our guest this hour, a quick tidbit. Headline says, commandos say no to women's special operations jobs. This all comes back to Barack and crew basically saying, hey, you know, women can do everything in the military. No problem. But people are not comfortable with this at all. Commandos are saying, it doesn't work. It's not going to work. And they say that a lot of people are leaving the military over this. It's disaster. They say, forget about political correctness or gender equality. It's bogus. They have a message for their political leadership. That is, when we're on the battlefield, there's no place for women. They're not big enough. They're not strong enough. They compromise us in every way, and it's a serious problem. It's kind of the first time I've really seen the military take on the establishment in a bold, direct way. What'll happen? Don't know. Thought that I'd put that into the hopper and then let our guest respond to that. Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Good to be with you in this turbulent world of crazy people in politics.
Do you think it's going to, or do you think this will really be, the military's going to step up on this one, or do you think they're just going to kowtow and cave?
Well, the military will always kowtow and cave, but they may have to carve out a special. I mean, look, the Marine Corps bucked this trend too and said, look, they took the best and the best of the women that we've got in the Marine Corps, put them through our training. They didn't make the grade. And so they opposed this. The Navy Secretary, a laughable political appointee, overruled them, and then Pentagon made this decision. But look, special forces or special operations are really tricky, and I mean, it's hardly any of the men, even from Rangers and others, can make the special forces grade. So they may prevail on this just because that's the way they are, but I don't know. It's hard to say. One of the most disturbing things, of course, is that the Army now says this means that women will be eligible for the draft.
And that's why I think they might have pushed too far on this one.
Yeah, that's not going to go down well with Congress. And this is something that I think Congress is going to be pressured on to take a stand on, and, I mean, to put women into the draft. This is something, obviously, the globalists, people who were behind Barack Obama, who really, you know, didn't push this, this was a globalist agenda, want women in the draft, but there's going to be real backlash to this.
And I think this is the first time I've really seen publicly the military members stand up and the news media willing to actually talk about it and tell you what they say. Usually it's like, well, they better not speak out of the court-martialed, or the military spins what they say, or they single them out as an individual like a Michael New and barbecue them and destroy their whole careers. This is the first time I've kind of seen a unified, here's what the mainstream Associated Press says. The men in the U.S. military, most dangerous jobs, care little about political correctness or gender equality, and they have a message for their political leadership. When they are fighting in the shadows and or dying, struggling, bleeding on the battlefield, women have no place on their teams. They say it flat out. That's the first time I've seen a real stand, a real unity stand, and the media actually telling it like it is for a change. I hope this really means real change. Time will tell, though.
Yeah, it will. You have to give credit to the Commandant of the Marine Corps. He did stand up to it against it as well. Of course, the black ops teams, the special teams, they're capable and they're small enough of saying, we quit or we're not moving. We're going to go on strike. And
they say in blunt,
big to do that, to say we're going to go on strike. as I say. So, you know, they've got a good niche here. They can make their case, and I think they could be successful, but time will tell.
They say this in blunt, sometimes profanity-laced answers to a, quote, voluntary survey conducted by the Rand Corp. Anyway, it goes on. But it's interesting because they literally talk about, hey, we can't be having a man bleed out because a woman soldier cannot drag him to cover. They finally put, usually the media is very good at putting a whitewash on war. In this case, some of the truth bleeding through, and that's why I think it might gain traction.
Yeah, agree.
All right, well, we hope something good happens. Having our women in the military is bringing us to a new low. Which is very dangerous in America. I mean, it's already just surprising. But when women have to start, when your daughters start going to the draft, even women, many of them who might feel like they want things equal, once they really realize the ramifications, a lot of them are going to stand up and go, wait a minute, this isn't exactly what we signed up for. And hopefully that will be a big key as well. I don't know, the kitchen militia taking this one on, maybe we'll see. All right. You had an incredible article about the San Bernardino false flag scenario, Joel Skousen, a false flag black operation. A lot of us have been kind of waiting for more and more details on this because we knew things were wrong, but we didn't have hard, fast facts. They're starting to be assembled by a lot of people. We're getting on these false flags a lot quicker, aren't we?
Yes, that's right. And despite, this had all the signs of a major cover-up. When you look at the evidence that came out, in the week following, you know, I thought, hey, something's really wrong with this picture. The police keep saying two or three, they have control of the situation. First of all, no video cameras coming out showing, you know, they have video cameras in this building. Where's the film?
Well, and they claim that they didn't have any, which is everybody, all the experts that I hear from say that's impossible. That isn't true.
That's impossible. So there's a lie going on. There's a major cover. And then the fact that, you know, why not give us quotes from the witnesses? You know, 75 people in this room, within minutes, you've got the witness statements. And the police obviously had to immediately talk to people. And no witness statement the second day, none the third day, none the fourth day, none the fifth day, you know, from official sources. What's going on here? And then they start to leak out. And the witnesses have a different story. And there's three major witnesses. In fact, we have no witnesses coming out and fingering Syed Farouk and his wife. But we have three witnesses. And the fact is there should be hundreds of witnesses, and they're not even interviewing them, means we better not do this because the first three that came out said there are three tall, and we think they have white faces. They had a ski mask on, but didn't cover all of their face. But three tall, white, muscular men, just like the Paris attack bombing, the Mercedes that drove up to shoot and kill the people in the restaurants and went bar hopping, you know, and shooting and killing people. Witnesses said two white muscular males, white.
It even gets worse when the witnesses agree with each other.
That's right. And then there's the one witness that I cover in the brief, that says, and I got a phone call at 7 p.m. said, you got to change your story. You've got to implicate Farouk. I mean, that's proof of a conspiracy. Some anonymous person calling him up and trying to bend the witness to change the story from three to two, and he wouldn't do it. He said, this isn't like Farouk. He was a mild-mannered, weak person and soft person, and he wasn't capable of doing this. So I've come to the conclusion here that we've got a man and a woman who were under the influence of an agent provocateur who were set up and who they had to, the media has too much information. They don't tell any specifically. They keep saying, well, there was something in 2012 they tried to do, and they called it off. And things. Well, what this indicates is that these people aren't capable, and the agent provocateurs try to get them to do something. It doesn't work, and finally they just get them implicated in this.
And one of the telltale signs is, too, they're not even ever around to give their side of what happened or lay out what really occurred, right?
Yeah, that's right. And the fact that they're there's a couple of real other good indications this was a setup. One is the modified toy remote car that was supposed to be tied to a bomb inside the building. Look, it takes an extreme amount of electronic knowledge and technique to do that. He didn't have any electronic knowledge at all, none, neither did the wife. So there's no way that they put together this toy car remote bomb. Somebody else had to do it. So that definitely implicates somebody else. And when you look at the history of all of the Muslim terror prosecutions in the United States, every one of them except one, the propane bomber of Times Square, which was just, wasn't anything close to working or coming off. All of the others, virtually all of the others, had an FBI informant involved. And it wasn't just an informant because it wasn't just informing. He was acting as an agent provocateur.
All right, hold on. That was a case in Randy Weaver's case. Right on through. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite talk station.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Joel Skousen, ladies and gentlemen, riding shotgun today, worldaffairsbrief.com. You want incredible commentary on a troubled world coming into your inbox weekly. I'm telling you, worldaffairsbrief.com has the details for you. San Bernardino, a false flag operation. We have more and more evidence coming out. That's the case. I mentioned the Randy Weaver scenario. I don't want to get sidetracked on that, but I just said even a provocateur was in his case. They pushed him to saw off a shotgun a little too short, and then bam, they sprung the trap. They're doing that all over the place, and in this case, we do, we don't know of a provocateur yet, but in all the other cases, we see that happening, right, Joel?
Well, we do, and as I said, in every one of the Muslim prosecutions in both U.S. and Britain, you have an agent provocateur so-called government informant there, first of all, regaling them with conspiracy material, which most of which is true, telling, angering them about the government. Second, you have them giving them the plans of how to pull off an attack against the government, and then you have them providing the explosives or the weapons or the most of the cases, inert explosives, and then arresting them when they go to try to go through.
Basically, it amounts to training, funding, and arming them.
That's right. This is called entrapment in legal terms, and yet it's never used as a defense against these people, and it should be. This is pure and simple entrapment. There's dozens and dozens and dozens of young disturbed Muslims, single men in mosques around, and they put agent provocateurs into every mosque who are posed as Muslims, who are Muslims or Muslim appearance. They're from the Middle East, hired by the FBI, and they induce these people to do these crimes. And I think that's what happened with these two people. They were just too mild-mannered. That's why it was so hard to find radicalization on them, and why you're not getting any evidence. You just keep saying, investigators say this, investigators say this to the news. Unnamed, anonymous police sources say this. It's all anonymous. And
then they say they were radicalized a year ago. They don't say how or when or who or what, but they were, kind of, and you're supposed to believe, right?
One of the biggest smoking guns are the weapons. The government is covering up for a major aspect of how they got these weapons.
And one of the biggest ways you know that is this. They let the media into the crime scene virtually immediately. They destroyed the whole crime scene publicly on TV, sir.
That's right. They let people, newspaper, come in and tramp around, and there was evidence all over the floor. You just don't do that, you see, unless you're trying to set up somebody for that. The fact that all the pipe bombs were inert is an indication that these guys didn't know what they were doing, even though they were, you know, it's like the Boston Marathon bombing. The Tsarnaev brothers were involved in a minor area, but I think the media set them up to take the whole blame, and I covered that in the World of First Brief, all the anomalies there about how, you know, the backpacks that they had could not have, you know, had the things. And there was lots of things, but they were involved at the margins, and but they were set up to take the whole blame, and that's what I think happened here. They were set up to take the blame. There aren't any witnesses saying that they left, these two husband and wife team left the thing, you know, shooting. It was the three tall white men who left the shooting that the government isn't looking for. I mean, when you have three witnesses, and then you have CBS News, who was the first one to interview one of the witnesses, and they came out the next day with a story focusing on only the two and didn't even mention that other witness. I mean,
but let's be clear, the mainstream press did talk about three witnesses when things were unfolding live.
No, no, that's right. But what I'm saying is then when they come out and do their detail, let's analyze the shooters. There was no mention of the three witnesses, even when their own reporters had mentioned this live. And they, that's proof that you're covering up. Why don't you even bring it up and say, now, what about this witnesses? They said there were three. How do we justify this? How do we, you know, unravel the contradiction with the officials? None of that was ever aired. And then there's the story by Carly Fiorina, the MSNBC, hearing the reporter say that the ATF said there was a straw buyer who purchased it on behalf of police. Then you have police getting with Enrique Marquez, who supposedly supplied two of the weapons, and they say improperly that these weapons were legally transferred to Syed Farouk and his wife. And that's not true. In California, to transfer any of these weapons, you've got to actually take the weapon to a dealer, fill out the paper, and the dealer has to transfer the weapon. And that did not happen. There is no paperwork on file. And so he's guilty of a crime in California. He's not under arrest. He's, the media and the FBI keep saying we're just questioning 5 days straight, and I think they're just keeping him away from, you know, any other news. But
well, the longer they can control him in a very controlled environment, the greater chance that he'll stay true to their agenda.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, it could be threats. It could be any number of things going on there. But I think, you know, they used him to get the weapons to him. You know, these are not cheap weapons that were. And, you know, there was a whole story about these were legally purchased. They said that too soon, and they didn't say, well, how was that legally purchased? I mean, you can't even buy an assault weapon in California, at least legally, not being police, unless you have what's called the bullet button magazine catch release, where you have to push a bullet into it because the button doesn't depress, only the small little pin in the middle of it depresses, and you can't fire off, you know, lots of rounds rapidly with that kind of weapon. And, you know, when they showed pictures of the weapon, they did not show a close-up of the released, whether or not it was... But the mere fact that there was a story about bought on behalf of the police indicates these were weapons that did not have the bullet button. Now, I personally think all of this is a setup. Look, the three people who came in and did the shooting, the three Muscular, were a hit team, and they were... some people said they had automatic weapons. One of the witnesses said it was automatic weapons fire. I mean, they weren't dealing with weapons that were given to Frug. I think those weapons were simply transferred to them so that they could capture them and indict them for this diversionary role in the shooting.
Well, this group called CARE, backed by the Muslim Brotherhood, is kind of another interesting thing. They came out right away and said, nah, this is workplace violence. This isn't terrorism. They came out bold on that. No one's called them on that at all. The tide of the Muslim Brotherhood and their reactions are quite interesting. They're tampering with this investigation. At some point, that borders on criminality as well.
Well, they've once provided the lawyers for the family immediately, and that's what really... I think that CARE is actually working for the U.S. government. The fact that they haven't been taken down despite all of their ties to terrorism means that they're probably very conveniently, doing the government's business.
Well, the joke is that the Muslim Brotherhood, or CARE, infiltrated the Bush administration, but they run the meetings in the Barack administration. Now, I don't think that's a literal truth exactly, but I will say this. How involved and how intertwined is the funding and training and arming of terrorists around the world? And we fund both sides of issues around the world, and then we kind of do the same thing in America. You almost wonder how tight at the hip is CARE and Barack in the Muslim Brotherhood? And when we create terrorism around the world and then we suggest we're fighting it, what gives somewhere, right?
Well, Barack is not a Muslim. He's not a Christian. He's nothing. He's simply a puppet of the globalist establishment. So we need to get over the fact that Muslim is running, or that Obama's a Muslim and is running this on behalf of Muslim. I mean, that's a straw man. When Obama's gone, the same system that controls Obama and that controlled George W. Bush is going to be in. They're powerful. They are what I consider the modern evil secret combinations, and they're still going to be around. They're very, very powerful.
And the reality is these secret combinations exist. They'll use Muslim or Christian or any other cover they need to spin their agenda.
That's right. I mean, when you look at all the self-posed 22 verified Islamic training camps in the United States, why is the FBI not enforcing the laws against totalitarian Islamists? They've got videos of these people shooting automatic weapons. Why haven't they been arrested? It's because they're useful in the phony war on terror. Now, you might say, why are they creating these camps if they aren't using them? And I think the reason why they haven't unleashed normal terrorism in the U.S. is because it would, create a backlash, and the U.S. would require that people would demand that border fence be built.
Yeah, they want controlled events to continue to further their cause slowly but surely, incrementally as they go. Trump speaking out, saying, hey, let's just ban all Muslims from coming to America. The hate speech against Trump rises to epic levels as well. That'll be next in seconds. We're talking to Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com. Hate speech against Trump, that seems to fly just fine for some strange reason. All right, you are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite news the networks refuse to use radio station.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, Joel Skousen on your radio. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get an incredible solution for Christmas for your friends, think thepowermall.com. They've got gift cards in any denomination you like, and you can share the Power Mall with your friends, do business with the good guys, thepowermall.com. All right, Joel Skousen, so Trump has been ratcheting up his speech, and now the hate speech against Trump out of the stratosphere. You and I can't say anything we want to, it seems, but yet the haters of Trump can, right?
Yeah, that's right. They can call him any name they will, want in the world, and they have what's really telling. Of course, this is something the whole world, establishment world, has been waiting for, something they can supposedly drive home that Trump is you know, unworthy to be president, he's a racist, he's, you know, all kinds of names. And it swept across all of the Western world. Within a day, every leader was coming out making statements. It's almost like they were prompted, primed to do this. It really smacks of conspiracy, frankly. Now, I'm not a defender of Trump in many regards because I don't trust him to stay on cue. He's gone all over the map in his political career, and I don't trust him as a representative of true conservative thought, but he certainly is helping people who feel frustrated by establishment control of various candidates feel somebody, you know, finally somebody stands up to political correctness and says what he wants. In point of fact, Trump did not say or declare a total ban on Muslim, and it was a conditional ban. It was until Congress, our representatives, get our act together and find out what's going on. And that's a very reasonable, legitimate statement. In fact, there is a point of law in Trump's favor giving the president the power to ban any refugees or entrants into the United States that are a threat to national security. And you could certainly make that case when you have a war against Islam, even though it's a trumped-up war created by the United States. Nevertheless, they have spawned a good deal of legitimate hatred around the world against the United States, and it's coming back to bite us, as Ron Paul says.
So where do we go with this then? Who do you think will actually be president? I think they're positioning Cruz, maybe.
Well, you've got to remember that Cruz is one of those, like Rand Paul, that they didn't want. And there's some funny polling going on, though. You know, nothing has gone on to change the let me put it this way. You know, we had lots of phony polling in 2012, trying to dethrone Romney. Remember all of the five surges that happened with individual candidates against Romney, and all of them were phony surges. They simply created and said polling suddenly shows that they've jumped up. Why? Nobody jumps up in the poll unless there's a major story about them that distinguishes them from another candidate. And you can't have a polling surge without, establishment media.
Yeah, because the point is, what information drives that change in understanding or beliefs that would change people's willingness to pull the lever in favor of whatever, right?
That's right. And there's been, for example, after the stories about Ben Carson and his exaggerating a story, and of course some of it was true and some of it was exaggerated, but the point is the polls went nowhere. He didn't go down, and suddenly he's dropped 15 points. Now, this is 3 weeks or a month after that happened. What, you can say, finally, it's sinking into people. But there's been nothing in the news where Cruz has established himself to go and double his points of beating Cruz or beating Trump in Iowa. So this is suspicious. Now, you say, what are they doing improving on Cruz? Cruz is on the list of the people they don't want to happen, and I'm not sure. But it may have something to do with why they allowed Carson in the first place to get into first place in Iowa, only to be knocked down later on. And you have to understand they do this. If they want to get rid of someone, they maybe have something in the wings that are going to discredit Cruz. And so they'll basically be able to say, oh, well, Cruz had his time, and now everybody's off of Cruz now. I think they're setting up Chris Christie to be resurrected, or Marco Rubio. Now, Marco Rubio is ahead in Iowa polling, 15% of Chris Christie, who's still down barely in the 3% range. Chris Christie is putting all his eggs in the New Hampshire basket, and that's why in the latest CNN poll for eligibility for the debate, they included New Hampshire so that people who were marginal like Chris Christie could still get into the debate, even though they're rock bottom in Iowa. But the mere fact that you had the New Hampshire union leader come out and endorse Christie already, now this is a Democratic newspaper endorsing, this smacks of what happened with John McCain in 2008. 2% levels in the primaries, and suddenly six Democratic newspapers endorse John McCain, and he shoots up to 20 or 30%. Nothing having to do with John McCain, it's just the whip of the media. Now, that isn't as effective nowadays because conservatives in particular are immune to what the newspapers say, but not the people in New Hampshire. It will have an effect on New Hampshire. I think they're trying to give Chris Christie a leg up because, one, even though Rubio is a neocon, he's a new neocon. He's fresh out of school. They've just started to play with him. He's not as – I don't think the powers that be are as comfortable with him or their ability to, or the public's ability to have confidence in a cherubic, young-looking Rubio as Christie. They've got a lot of skeletons in his closet. They can hold him, his feet to the fire. They can make sure they control him. But Christie is a dynamic speaker, despite his obesity. He's able to just get a foot-pounding applause from conservatives in a state like New Jersey. But you got to wonder, anybody who's allowed to become the governor of New Jersey can't be a real conservative. And sure enough, he hasn't, shown anything but being an establishment hack. But I suspect they're looking to try to resurrect Christie after New Hampshire.
Any guesses on who you really think will end up being president?
Well, I know it won't be Trump. Establishment doesn't want him. Real conservatives don't want him. It won't be Carson. Frankly, I'm the only two that I think have real conservative roots are Cruz and Rand Paul. Both of them show a very disturbing tendency to compromise. But right now, all I'm sure of is that the establishment still wants to give us a controlled Republican. But if I had my bets, it's either going to be, Christie or Rubio. I'm sure they're going to put the axe to Cruz somewhere along the line as well.
And part of the reason they're going to put the axe to Cruz is they let everybody kind of have their little teeny surge like they did in 2012. Carson had his, now Cruz is having his. They'll never give one to Rand because they know it might actually take flight. They'll let these people have their kind of little flash in the pans. But they're going to position Bush to be in there somewhere, maybe not to be elected, but they're going to give him a rise too, won't they?
I don't think they're capable of doing that. I think the conservatives are immune to Bush rising. They don't want another Bush after George W. Bush. What's going to happen, it looks like the Republicans are preparing to do a brokered convention. And, you know, Trump's going to be strong throughout most of the primaries. He's going to be a contender. Remember, to even get nominated, you've got to win 8 states. And I think they're trying to make sure that nobody wins 8 states. This gives them the excuse to do a brokered inside convention. You see, where the powers that be in the Republican Party can pick the nominee. And that just blows open a whole thing. Ben Carson has threatened to quit the race if they do that. And that'd be, that's just fine with the establishment. Any non-insider that quits the race makes more for the rest of them. But I think what they're looking at is, and that's one of the reasons why they put so many people into the race, is to make sure they could get to a brokered convention rather than have anybody win through the primaries.
All right, we don't know what's going to happen. How about Hillary? Do you think Hillary's going to really get a rise?
No, I don't think the establishment wants Hillary. Remember, you don't undo all of the anti-establishment feeling in the nation from conservatives unless you give them a controlled Republican. And I don't think Hillary's that popular with anyone either. That's why so many people are going after Bernie Sanders on the left.
Yeah, there's a big study right now. Older women are for Hillary, but the younger women don't get it. They don't see why. And so there's a big old disparity there. They're trying to, you know, work their way through, et cetera. So you're probably right on that score.
Well, he's got the charisma. People don't trust. She's old hat now. She's got lots of skeletons in her closet. You know, a lot of bogus stuff on the Internet about the establishment is going to prosecute her and throw her out of the race, and I don't believe that.
Not going to happen. All right, Kurt, who's the advisor that Trump had that quit? What's that guy's name?
Stone.
Yeah, Roger Stone.
Richard K. Roger Stone.
Okay, Roger Stone's a big thug. He was a big advisor to Trump, and then he supposedly resigned, but he's still helping Trump big time. This guy's been a political hack on Capitol Hill for literally decades. He was the one that set up the interview between Donald Trump and Alex Jones, Joel. What do you think of Roger Stone?
I don't think much of him at all. You know, he is a mainstream Republican hack. I don't know why, you know, Trump even has advisors. He doesn't take anybody's advice, and he says what he wants. He won't read his own script. He won't be careful. I mean, that's proof that you can't be president. You won't be careful. Even, you know, you just won't even write your own stuff.
All right, quick pause, ladies and gentlemen. Joel Skousen with us. We've got to talk about what's happening in the Middle East. We've got to talk about what's going on in Iraq. There's a lot to come. Hang tight. I don't know. Man. We don't have time. We're going to have to speed this up here, folks. We got a lot to cover. WorldAffairsBrief.com is where you go for commentary on a troubled world. Insights.
A backpack is more than just a bag. It's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you can take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E, free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, Joel Skousen with us, ladies and gentlemen, worldaffairsbrief.com. So we got to really drill into the Middle East, what's going on in Iraq, et cetera, et cetera. They seem to just keep agitating there every single day. Sometimes we forget about it with what's going on at home, but the reality is they just never let up, sir.
That's right. It's one of those things where they don't take no for an answer, and they have the power to keep things going. They do get some setbacks, as they have had in the Middle East with the Russian intervention in Syria. They've had a major setback of the globalist agenda, but they are continuing to manipulate, using Turkey primarily to not only to shoot down a Russian airplane to try to provoke something, but you know, so far Russia is not rising to the challenge.
All right, what about Iraq then? You know, we thought, hey, this is going to be a long war. They acted like we kind of tamped it down, got it squared away. We backed out of it, supposedly. But it's a hot spot. It's one of the biggest kind of keys to the stirring the pot still, isn't it?
Well, it is, only because, you know, they had to resurrect ISIS in order to, you know, after the chemical weapons treaty that Assad accepted stopped the U.S. invasion of Syria about 3 years ago, and they started up ISIS in order to have an excuse to get back into Syria. But for some reason or another, they set ISIS off against Iraq first, and then kind of, you know, said it's in Syria and Iraq, and then kind of drive it back towards Iraq. And I think that's what we're seeing with the Turkish invasion of Iraq. People have, you know, proffered all kinds of excuses. Turkey itself says that it's only supporting its trainers. Of course, you don't need, you know, 25 M60 tanks to support trainers in Iraq. They're clearly in there for ulterior reasons, I think, driven by the United States. A lot of people, I pointed out in the brief, talk about Pipelandistan. They want to try to take the pipeline away from the instability of Turkey and put it through northern Syria, which will be part of a new Kurdistan. But you have to hear, why is Turkey, you know, in helping create a pipeline? It will take the pipeline away, the business from the existing pipeline in Turkey. It just doesn't make sense. What I think does make sense is the U.S. has this problem. It is being forced to attack ISIS, their own creation, and so they have to continue to fudge the fact that, like in their airstrikes, they give advance warning to ISIS so they don't kill anybody. The buildings end up being empty. The training camps are empty, and so they end up, you know, I think... even when the British, you know, and the French get involved in attacking ISIS, they go through U.S. targeting, so the U.S. gives them the targets and can make sure that ISIS is not hit. I think maybe the same thing is happening with Turkey. They've been sent in as a force that will be used to take back Mosul, and I think they're going to do it in a way that won't kill or destroy ISIS, but allow ISIS to escape. And whereas, you know, if they've sent the Iraqis in there, who are very disgruntled with America now, they all know that America is involved with ISIS. They don't want America in there anymore. They're in negotiation with Russia to come in and take the U.S. place in terms of aid and helping them get rid of ISIS. So this is just a major mess because of people waking up to the fact that the U.S. and Turkey are backing ISIS rather than fighting ISIS.
Well, we know that because really it's Turkey and the United States allowing ISIS to continue to sell oil and raise money, right?
Right. Yeah, they've been doing that and finding out that they're covered in the World Affairs Brief. Israel has been buying oil from ISIS. And the fact that ISIS has never attacked Israel, Jordan, or Turkey indicates that Israel or ISIS knows who butters their bread.
All right, where we go with this is hard to say because they keep pushing this narrative. They're trying to shut down ISIS. They'll really stop ISIS, but they won't. What they're really doing is growing ISIS, growing the threat with these refugees continuing to come into America for eventual someday taking off the gloves, so to speak, and creating pandemonium in America. But the Supreme Court in the news refuses to halt state gun bans. So on one hand, while they're arming, training, and funding terrorism around the world, domestically and foreign, they're really trying to restrict the rights that you and I have, our God-given right of self-defense.
Well, that's right. You know, and we all rejoiced in the Heller Supreme Court decision where they struck down the gun ban, the outright ban in Washington, D.C., and basically said that the Second Amendment is an individual right, but they had that little loophole in there saying that the states and local governments can put reasonable regulations on guns. Saying basically that it's not an outright ban is the only thing that's actually prohibited, but they can, you know, you can regulate to death so that you can't actually use weapons, and that's what certain states have done, and that was taken to court, and it went up to the Supreme, the appeals court, and they basically, it was a gun, an assault weapons ban in three or four states, and the appeals court sustained that ban, and the Supreme Court then refused to take the case, meaning they're not willing to go back and make a ruling. They're going to let them stand. They're not going to make a ruling on any particular weapons ban being a violation of the Second Amendment. I think a ban is, in accordance with Heller, always inappropriate. But the Supreme Court is showing its true colors now, going to let it stand.
Do you think enough of the American people are starting to get this? You know, for the longest time, most Americans didn't really realize what was happening, that we were arming, creating terrorists, cells and organizations around the world, training them, funding them, etc. But now that they're flat out trying to disarm us blatantly while at the same time promoting this, do you think Americans are starting to get the news, get the reality?
Well, conservative Americans are, it's to be sure, and that's what's driving the unexpected popularity of Donald Trump. But the regular Americans, I don't think are. I don't think we're in a majority whatsoever. We're increasing. But the power of this establishment to continue to manipulate public opinion through these false flag mass shootings is a powerful thing. And ultimately, you know, they're going to squash the opposition through war. And that's why they're heading us for a third world war. It's just that simple. They're not going to allow us. I mean, war just is the master terror stroke to get everybody in line and say, save us, do whatever it takes to save us. And that's what I think we're heading for.
All right, military responding on Benghazi, too. There's kind of an update. This is a Hillary Clinton, affecting story, isn't it?
Yes, it is if it ever gets out, and it's not getting much play. Judicial Watch came out and found that there was an email basically stating that the government has troops ready and waiting, and the propellers are turning. They're winding up, not propellers, but, you know, the engines are winding up as we speak. In other words, they're ready to go. And this isn't the smoking gun we're looking for. The smoking gun was the stand-down order, which got Generals Hamm and Admiral Goyette relieved of command on the spot because they refused the stand-down order. But, you know, what we're finding out is that even those two lackeys have decided, you know, I'm not going to blow the whistle on government. I'm not going to talk about the stand-down order. Both have denied there was a stand-down order. And even though we know that there was from other people who were there. And this bolsters the case for a stand-down order because it says the military was ready. Well, if they didn't go in, somebody had to give a stand-down order then.
But they're not going to hold Hillary accountable at all, really, right?
No.
That's just going to be water under the bridge, as it always is with the Clintons.
And Hillary never would have given the stand-down order anyway. You know, she wasn't in that position. That was done by the National Security Council, who runs these things. The National Security Advisors are sitting there at the hip with the president when these things are going down and tells them what to do, and they're the ones. I don't even think Obama knew there was a stand-down order.
All right. Final quick tidbit. It looks like the right going off in South America, huh?
Yeah, been a major backlash in Argentina and Venezuela. Of course, Venezuela had a massive landslide election. New York Times came out to spin it. You see, they really do have fair elections in Venezuela. But I think what happened is the opposition says it was virtually so massive that even with the election manipulation, they couldn't stop the landslide from occurring. I mean, literally, the country had ground to its knees. No foreign exchange, no everyone having to pull dollars out of the mattress. It was illegal. They were shooting and killing and arresting the opposition, and they finally threw out Maduro, and he's refusing to leave. In Argentina, they threw out the Kirchner handpicked candidate, elected right-wing, and he's got a major problem to try to pull Argentina out of the depression that was caused by all the socialism. You know, the Kirchners were extremely corrupt, just like every one of these communist socialist hard left candidates. They were getting kickbacks from every government contract in Argentina to the Kirchner family in particular. So there is a backlash eventually. There is light at the end of the tunnel. But I'm on a negative note, I still think from my experience living there in Latin America that it's so socialist oriented that the just as in Chile, after the Pinochet miracles, the socialists came back and slowly eating away at the free market Chicago boy miracle in Chile. And now you have a communist president in Chile as well. She's still playing her cards carefully. Communist president in Brazil, and she's ready to be impeached because of corruption. I mean, it's a mess down there.
Well, and we know full well this, you know, the chances of them letting go of power and really conservative viewpoints taking real hold around the world is not going to happen. The people aren't even worthy enough from a moral point of view to justify that. And so expect it to get worse. What you can do is prepare. What you can do is insulate yourself by wise choices. Isn't that where we need to go, Joel?
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid is the thing. We've got to get ready to survive this war, to live to establish liberty another day on the other side.
Godspeed, my friend.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas to you and your family. WorldAffairsBrief.com, ladies and gentlemen. I get his commentary on a troubled world in my inbox every Friday. Highly recommend you do the same. WorldAffairsBrief.com. For Sam, Kurt, Joel Skousen, Michael Connolly, thank you. We appreciate all you for listening. We appreciate the good you do. Merry Christmas to you and your families. And all I can tell you is this nation shall endure. It's going to be a road of hoe, that's for sure. LibertyRoundtable.com. We need your financial support. Click on Help Us Grow, would you please? Hey, thanks.